Well, it's actually kind of ironic that Evan read that. Because I think I had mentioned in Bible class a couple weeks ago that when you have children, sometimes the Bible, there's meanings are a little bit different when you read things. And for me, this is one of those stories that I have a son, and this story means a little bit different. The meaning is a little bit different to me. Now, I wanted to kill him a few times. But obviously I didn't. Now he's bigger than me and he fights back. But it's interesting he read that. I want to read just a little bit more as we get into this evening. And this morning we talked about Peter and his journey across the water and the faith that Peter had to have and those kind of things. And this lesson ties in with that from this morning, just from a different part of the scriptures. Let's pick it up in verse 4, Genesis 22, starting in verse 4. It says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will be back to you.' So Abraham took the wood off of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father,' he said, and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Verse 9 says, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" So if we just strip that back and just read it for what it is, think about what Abraham was called to do. He wasn't just taking a calf or a goat. He wasn't just going to find some animal on the way. He was called to take his son, not just his son, but his only son. You talk about a prized possession. I mean, think about in your life something that you just value so much that you just can't begin to imagine yourself without it. Abraham was called to take this prized possession, the son that he had, that was a promise, and to sacrifice him. And he was going to do it. You see, our faith is tested when God asks for what we treasure the most. Verse 2 said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." God's command was pretty specific, wasn't it? And not only was it specific, but man, it was really, really personal. If you remember, Isaac wasn't just a son that happened to be born into the family. Isaac was a promise. Isaac was the future. You see, our faith is often tested not what we can spare, but it's tested with what we value the most. Think about what God gave us. Think about what God gave up to save us sinners. He gave us His only Son. And He asks of us so little in return compared to what He gave us. And no matter what God asks us to do or what God calls us to do, it shouldn't matter. Because if we have that faith, if we have the faith of Abraham, if we have the faith of Peter, as we talked about this morning, then no matter what God calls us to do or where He calls us to go or what He asks of us, that faith should carry us through no matter what. But the key is we have to have that faith. Part of that faith, part of what faith is obeying God's command even when we don't understand it. We're not always going to get what God wants us to do. We're going to question God and go, what? You want me to do what? What did Moses say when God called him to lead the people? Moses said, no, I don't think I can do that. I think you got the wrong guy. What did Jonah say when God called him to go back to Nineveh? Jonah, he ran. So I'm going to begin to do this. You ever said that to God? You ever said to God, I'm sorry, you want me to do what? You want me to go where? What, God, what do you want me to give up? Our faith is trusting Him no matter what is asked of us. And think about Abraham. The command was to take Isaac, take your only son, and take him up and sacrifice him to me. And what did Abraham say? You know what, I'll get back to you in about 3 or 4 days with that guy. He didn't do that, did he? Abraham said, you know what, I don't think I can. I'm busy. I got some things to do in the shed. And he didn't say that, did he? He didn't give God any excuses. He didn't try to get out of it. As a matter of fact, he didn't even question it. He just did it. Without hesitation, without doubt, without fear, Abraham just did it. I don't know that I could have done that. Could you? I don't know that I could have been as faithful as Abraham was. And it doesn't even have to be our children. That's some pretty serious stuff. I mean, just think about some of the things that we possess in the world. Some of the things that are our possessions that we love. If you had to give something up, Anybody remember the Andy Griffith episode where the little boy rides his bicycle on the sidewalk? Little bratty, snotty kid. He got this brand new bicycle, and he kept riding on the sidewalk. And Barney'd tell him to quit riding on the sidewalk, and he didn't listen. So they took the bike, and the boy's dad came down to the jail, and Andy said to the boy's father, he said, all right, if you're not going to punish your kid, then I can hold you responsible, and I'm going to put you in jail. And the kid was so possessive of that bike, he was willing to let his dad go to jail for that bike. Anybody remember that episode? Yeah. And then the dad realized there was a shutout back with a switch in it. That kid didn't want to give him that little bicycle. We struggle giving up things that we really love and enjoy if it doesn't fit in God's plan. We don't want to give those things up. No, God, I really like that. I can't give that up. We hesitate on the little things. This was huge for Abraham. It was his son. His promise. He didn't hesitate one bit. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's talked about this. Starting in verse 17, It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Verse 19 says, he considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, Abraham had such strong faith. He knew that God would take care of this. That's why he didn't hesitate. That's why he didn't waver. That's why he didn't give excuses. He just did it. His faith was so strong. He knew that no matter what was going to happen, in his eyes, good or bad, God was going to take care of him. And that's what he did. You see, sometimes faith doesn't come sometimes with clarity, does it? We might not totally understand what we're being asked to do. Obedience comes before understanding. And see, true faith says, I don't see the outcome, but I trust the one, capital O, that does. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Abraham had a trust that was so incredible that he was willing to do whatever God had asked him and commanded him to do without hesitation. And we read this and go, that is nuts. Are you kidding me? I can't comprehend it. I don't understand it. How does Abraham have that faith? How do I get that faith? I want that faith. We should strive every day to have the faith that Abraham had. I think of all the excuses I give God myself as to why I can't do something. Man, they're dumb sometimes. I won't speak for you, I'll just speak for me. But I'm guessing yours are dumb too. Because we do dumb things sometimes. But man, I give God some dumb excuses. I can think up a lot of things if I don't want to do something. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham had a faith that was so incredible. Faith is trusting that he will provide. Verse 8 says, God himself will provide the lamb. And just at the right moment, just at the right time, God stops Abraham from doing it. I mean, it got so far as he was ready to do it. I mean, it's not just, they just went on this journey and they got almost there and God said, okay, that's good enough. No, it was ready. It was time. He had that knife in his hand. He was going to kill his son Isaac. He was going all the way with it. And in verse 12, we see God stopped it and said, no, I see your faith. You see, God may test our faith sometimes, but he is never unfaithful. He may challenge us. He may give things to us that we don't know how to handle or how to even begin to start. But he's never unfaithful to us. God provided the most wonderful gift we could ever get. And that was his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us his only son. Put yourself in the spot of Abraham. What would we do? Would we be willing to stand up and go, yep, I'm on board with this right away? Man, I don't know. How about Isaac? Let's talk about Isaac for a second. He's got a pretty big part in this as well, doesn't he? When Abraham said, okay, Isaac, this is what we're doing. I need you to come with me. Now, he didn't tell Isaac right away what was going to happen, but think about Isaac. What is he carrying? He's carrying the stuff that he's going to be killed on. Did Isaac ever say, you know what, Dad, I'm not feeling good this morning. I don't think I can go with you today. He didn't say that, did he? He obeyed. He went right along with it. So there's some trust there too, isn't there? Isaac was trusting that Abraham, his father, was going to take care of him. Just like we should trust that our Father is going to take care of us. You see, man's going to fail us. We're going to fail each other. I wish we wouldn't, but the reality is we will. We're going to disappoint each other at some time. We're going to get upset at one another at some point. We're going to fail. But God will never fail. God will never move away from us if we love him and trust him. Man, how do I get that faith? Where do I start? Oh, it's pretty basic. I start with reading the Bible. That's where the answers are. I don't need to look anywhere else. I don't need to watch a television show. I don't need to listen to a podcast to find out where the truth is. Because the truth is right in front of me. The truth is in his word. And as long as we read that, and as long as we let that be our roadmap, God's going to be faithful to us. That's the promise. When Abraham was up on that mountain, he had total trust. He surrendered everything to God without hesitation. Is that us? Can we surrender everything to God? If God was to call us today and say, you know what, I need you to give up everything, could we do it? Think about the apostles. Think about when Jesus was walking along and calling the apostles. They didn't get to go home and pack their bags, did they? Matthew didn't say, okay, wait a minute, I need to finish my job, and then I'm going to get up and I'll take the money and I'll go put it away. Then I'll meet you, Jesus, at about 4:00. I'll meet you up there. He didn't do that, did he? They went right away. They gave up a lot to follow Jesus. And think about their faith. Did they really even know what they were following yet? Not really. They'd heard about this guy called Jesus. John had been doing some preparation. He'd been teaching and preaching about this man called Jesus, but they didn't really understand totally what he was. They were with him for 3 years, 24 hours a day. And at the end of those 3 years, roughly, I didn't think they totally understood what he was. That's faith. They didn't worry about it. Now, they were worried about some things. They were worried about where they're going to sleep at night sometimes and what they were going to eat. But did they ever go hungry? No. Did they ever not have a place to stay? No. Did Jesus provide for them? Absolutely, he did. Did God provide for Abraham? Absolutely, he did. Will God provide for us? He absolutely will. But we have to be all in. We have to give him everything. We can't just play this thing called church on Sundays and then the rest of the week just kind of do what we want. Unfortunately, that's not how that works. And it's hard out there. It's kind of nice. We're in a nice little bubble here, aren't we? I think of when we're at church camp. We come up through those gates of church camp down there. We're all in a nice little bubble. And then, man, at the end of the week, after we've slept for 2 days and recover, at the end of the week, we got to go back to reality, right? We walk out these doors, we have to go back to reality. What's reality? Well, reality is the world and society telling us, don't worry about what the Bible says. Reality is Satan doing everything he can to put a wedge between us and the Father. That's reality. What do we do with that? We ask God for strength. We got to be all in. We have to be willing to give up anything and everything God asks us to give up. When we made that decision to become a Christian, to be baptized in these waters, we made that decision. We made the choice, a conscious choice, to get rid of the old crap in our life and welcome something new. And you've heard me say it, and I'll continue to say it. I wish that when we come up by that water, we get that bubble around us. But that's not reality. We have to be doing things here on this earth to prepare us for that gift. As we talked about this morning, prepare us in Bible class for the final payment of heaven. We need to do everything we can to make sure, first of all, we've got that right relationship with God. We're in that right spot. But then we can take as many with us as we possibly can. Where's your trust? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust God? Where's your faith? I hope and I pray it's in our Heavenly Father. Because He's given us some amazing promises. And if we're faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to us. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity we now have, that we have had to worship you this evening. Father, we thank you for this book that you've given us, that we can read your words to us, Father. Father, I pray we study it. Father, I pray that we are in it. Father, guide us through your word. Father, give us the strength when we are weak. Father, it's hard. Some days are better, Father. You know our struggles. And you know when our faith gets weak. And Father, I pray that when we find ourselves in that situation, the first thing we do is ask you for help. Thank you for the examples you've given us. Thank you for men like Abraham that show us if we remain faithful to you, you remain faithful to us. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love. Thank you for sending him to this earth to go through what we go through, to feel the pains that we feel. We thank you for that love that put him on that cross, that washes our sins away. Father, thank you for all you do for us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So we have a choice. Who are you going to choose? Where's your faith going to be? In man? In yourself? Or in God? When God calls us to do things, are we going to listen like Abraham did? Or are we going to come up with every excuse we can as to why we can't do something? But the first step in all that is accepting Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Accepting the fact that we're sinners, that we need to get rid of that old person, that old soul, and come up out of that water a brand new person, a child of God. If you've not made that decision tonight, now's an opportunity for that. But it's not just an opportunity we have on Sunday nights at 10 after 7. See, God's invitation is always open. Always. And if you're here and you are a child of his and you've allowed Satan to creep in, you've allowed things of this world to put you between yourself and God. The wonderful thing about a church family is that we can all pray for each other. We can help each other. If you have any need this evening, that the church can help you with, come to the front now as we stand and as we sing. There's a message true and glad for the